Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 30. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 30. Luke writing, recording for his uncle Theophilus. The words in Luke. Bear great weight today. In the 14th verse, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat of it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also, a great dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. May God add his blessings to these passages from his book. As we seek him in prayer, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we reach out to you to explain to us through these words, what to do, how to act, who to be, what we are. These words given to us, your words, Father, may they strengthen us and prepare us for whatever trials we may be stood up to. We thank you, Father, that we are able to gather here today, and we ask that you bless us through this service. In Jesus' name, and all of his children said, amen. So let me ask you something. What is your moment? What is your moment? Was it your driver's license? Was it getting your first car? Was it something you had saved up for and are now able to get it? What is your moment? Was it a trip to Europe? The Holy Land? That job you wanted? Was it a marriage proposal? I endeavor one Sunday, I'm going to do this. It rolls around here in this great cavity called my head. An idea one Saturday, or Sunday, we're going to celebrate marriage. And each one of you, somebody from each couple out there, is going to tell us the marriage proposal. I imagine there's some funny stories to hear. Hey, you want to get married? Yeah? All right, let's go. Was it the birth of your children? Was that your moment? Was it graduation from high school, college, extra college, more college, nursing school, wherever? Was your moment finding out that it's not cancer? Was your moment being told you are now cancer-free? What is your this moment? I ask that question because it's a realistic question. I ask that question because there's a whole broad range of ages in this room. And the younger people in this room, their moment changes from day to day. Their moment might be opening up a box to find that they have absconded with the last cupcake. Knowing full well that when Daddy comes home, if he has set his mouth for that cupcake, they live on a short time. I'm not saying that as you get older, you don't have moments anymore, because you do. And all through your life, you've experienced so many things. Maybe it's only 16 years worth, and maybe it's 90 years worth. But you've had these moments along the way, where something radical has happened. Something unbelievable has changed. Something has come forth in front of you. And you missed it. It came, it went on its merry way. You don't dwell on it, you don't think on it. Unfortunately, that is not me. I can't help but live in all of the moments of my life. Some of them I'm happy to be a part of, some of them not so much. And because I want to stay in this moment, I treasure the journey I've taken to get to today, October 7th, and tomorrow, and the next day. But I too have missed those moments along the way where something great happened. Far and away, and too often, we forget that moment, or sometimes we don't even realize it when we're in it. As many of you know, I love to ride motorcycles. I haven't been lately because it just hasn't worked out, but in my youth, everywhere I went was pretty much on two wheels if I could help it. And I had been warned repeatedly about my less than careful riding style. That one of these days it was going to get me. And one day it did. I had never told this story. Maybe my family knows. Bryce Road, Thurmont, Maryland, was almost my day. I think about that day quite often because as I was squirreling around on this twisty road, the rear tire of my bike let go. Now, just so we understand each other, when you only have two wheels and one goes, you're on a unicycle. You understand? A unicycle with an engine. And as I am not a circus bear, I don't know how to ride a unicycle. The tire went and down the bike went, and Paul went with it. And Paul and bike slid 58 feet across the blacktop with me underneath of it until the bike hit a divot, flipped, and threw me another 50 feet into a fence where I stopped, just sort of a rock that big with my head in a barbed wire fence that would have done this. I got up, blood rolling down the leg and arms, and dusted myself off and went over and looked at my motorcycle and, "Ha! You stupid, worthless piece of..." All the while knowing it was my fault because I was riding around on a bare tire and I kicked the bike and I got mad and there wasn't no cell phones. I had to walk 3 miles. Looked like a walking dead. And people wouldn't stop and blood coming out of me. And I would be, "Hey, And they'd be like, Myrtle, I am not stopping. That guy is nuts. And I finally got to a payphone and I called a friend. I said, and this is what I said, hey man, I just wrecked my bike and I'm down here and I need a ride. Can you come get me? And this was his response. What'd you do that for? And then I had to think about it. God was watching over me. God has watched over each and every one of you in every moment of your life, whether you realize it or not. And yet sometimes we are in this moment and we don't think about it till much later. Bob and Pat Myers gave me this when Bob was still alive. It is a calendar. I'll never probably, hopefully, ever see all of it. And I've shared it with you before, the glory of America. And it's just little things that happened on days. And because I only flip it over once a week, I'll be able to do this for the next 50 years while I'm preaching here. And so I'm flipping around and I grabbed my thumb. This is a true story. And I grabbed my thumb and I flipped it to see where I would land. And it landed right on October 7th. I didn't try that. And I went, wow, look at that. And then I read the story on October 7th on this day in 1918. A young man during the Battle of the Meuse-Argonne Offensive decided that he had had enough. He was a devout young Christian from the hills of Tennessee and didn't want to go serve and struggled with it. And finally his preacher talked to him about it and they had great conversations over it. And he decided to serve. And during that battle, a great moment was happening. A German pillbox was picking off Americans. And nobody could seem to get close enough to stop it. And this young feller looked around and saw the back flank of the Germans was open. And he snuck around behind them. And much like he had done hunting turkeys and bear and deer, he took them out. Until they realized what was going on and gave up. And this young man, by himself, single-handedly captured 130 German prisoners and stopped that battle. His name was Alvin York, if you ain't figured it out already. And if you ain't never seen the movie Sergeant York, shame on you. Make sure you have tissues nearby. But the most poignant part of that movie, based on his life, played by Gary Cooper, was at the end when the state of Tennessee gave him a farm. A bottom farm. 100 acres of good, rich bottom land. Barn, house, cows. And as he walked around there with his betrothed, he looked at her and he said, what did I do to deserve this? What did I do to deserve this? He had forgotten the moment that had brought him there. There are a lot of Christians out there and who can't answer the same question. What did I do to deserve this? Well, today I want to remind you of this moment. Because there are a lot more out there that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior that will say to you and break your heart, I do not deserve what Jesus Christ has to offer. Let me straighten you out real quick and in a hurry like you do. He didn't die on that cross just for Paul Leatherman. He didn't die on that cross just for Hazel Stripe. He didn't die on that cross just for Sarah Stocks. He died on that cross for all of us. All of us. And asked one simple question. Remember this moment. And we become confused, don't we? Sometimes we get lost trying to understand what's going on. We become confused, unaware, until clarity comes forth. Communion is a great way to resurrect that clarity, only if you stop to think about it. Clarity is all through this book. Great moments will happen, and they'll be in the moment, and they'll be lost, and they'll not understand why, and they back up at the end of it, and they realize this is why. And one of the harder stories in the Bible is found in 2 Samuel chapter 12. On the seventh day, the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they thought, while the child was still living, we spoke to David, but he would not listen to us. How can we tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. Now let's stop here for a second. David had fouled up, taken what wasn't his. And the Lord said, I have to teach you something. And took David's child. And David lay down in sackcloth and ashes and moaned and wailed and said, please don't do this. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. David noticed that his servants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he is dead. The most telling part of this story comes right here. Then David got up from the ground, and after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own home, and at his request they served him food, and he ate. And his servants said, why are you acting this way? When a child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now the child is dead, you get up and eat. And he answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. To me, that is one of the most telling moments of being in this moment. He lived in this moment. And then when he realized what was going on around him, the confusion, the unawareness was washed away. I understand, Lord. I understand. And yet sometimes, people still like to live in a state of confusion. Sometimes they still like to lean back and say, I don't understand, I don't get it. I got news for you. Sometimes you're not meant to understand, but you're meant to be aware. And always do you want to be aware. Shortly after the 1912 presidential election, Woodrow Wilson visited his aged aunt, whom he had not seen in a long time. What are you doing these days, Woodrow? She asked. He said, I've been elected president. She said, oh yeah? President of what? He said, of the United States. She looked at him and said, don't be silly. She was not aware. With everything around her going on, and in 1912, it wasn't that far removed that she could be made aware. She wasn't aware, and it wasn't until something happened later that made her completely understand it. And we see this far too often. There's this moment that something happens that we may not understand until later, but we need to remind ourselves of that moment. I can give you 1,000 examples in my life, and I'm sure you can too. But the challenge is to remember them. Above all the pomp and circumstance of this day, and believe you me, I've taken communion in a variety of ways. The only place I have never taken communion is in the house of the Jehovah's Witness. They don't do it. They don't feel anybody worthy. They just keep passing it along. They don't feel they're worthy. But I've been in Catholic churches and Episcopalians and around the world, and in that sense, I've had to do it where you sat down, stood up, got down, kneeled, stood up, put your foot in, put your foot out. I've had it where they passed a loaf of bread up and down the pew, and everybody took a dip in the cup, We've done bread and cup here. Amongst all the pomp and circumstance of this day, those two sacraments have a meaning, but they don't mean, oh, I'm taking communion today. They don't mean that, oh, I've got to do this because, whoop, it's on the calendar. See, World Communion Sunday means if we don't take communion on World Communion Sunday, the roof will fall in. Last year, we didn't take communion on World Communion Sunday because I was in the hospital or sick or something. We had it on Christmas. Building's still here. Lights still work. It's not about that. It's about this moment. Go back to your scripture for a moment. I want you to understand what took place. And perhaps maybe you'll get it. We're in the Passover. We are hours away from when Jesus Christ is going to be dragged through the streets and hung at Golgotha. Put that in your mind. Those are the moments coming up. We are hours away from it. It says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. That's the line you want to underline in your Bible. This Passover. Jesus Christ was 33 years old, right? Say amen. Do you think he had been to a Passover meal or two before? Was he Jewish? Was that part of being Jewish? Had he been with the disciples for 3 years? Say amen. Had he enjoyed or celebrated Passover with them prior to that? Yes. But they don't talk about that. They talk about this moment. Jesus Christ says, this Passover before I suffer. And all the men are blah, 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 they're up there talking, jabbering along, and they may not have understood it. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. That means he is not going to do this again until heaven and earth are joined as one. And he took the cup and he gave thanks, and he took the bread and he gave thanks, and we read that. And he talks about this cup is the new covenant. Because in just a few short hours, my blood is going to be spilled. I am going to become the final sacrifice. I am going to die. And it fell on deaf ears. Because they were in the moment and didn't realize it. How do we know it fell on deaf ears? Luke records it. After all that, they began questioning among themselves which of them it might be who would do this, who would betray Jesus. But you go on to the next verse. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered the greatest. You idiots. Who is the greatest among them? When I became pastor of this church, I've said this time and time again. I love telling this story because it reinforces my thought process. I said, well, Dad, this is what's going on. What do you think of the situation? He said, and he gave this great fatherly advice that was so warm and loving and caring to me that I remember the exact words to this day. They meant so much. They were so beautiful and they meant so much to me. He said, boy, remember what your last name is. Don't go up there and mess it up. That was his advice to me. Don't go up there and mess it up. Thanks, Dad. Thanks a bunch. He said, but the thing you need to remind yourself is you're the pastor. You're the lowest person in that church. Your job is to serve everyone. Don't forget it. I got it. I didn't understand it quite yet in that moment. But I got a wealth of education now. And so you have men that were with Jesus fighting amongst them who's the greatest. In this moment where Jesus is pouring it out that I am going to suffer. This is it. This is all. I'm not going to be with you anymore. They want to know who was greatest in the room. And so I encourage you to remind yourself what this day means. This is not just about eating wonderfully prepared unleavened bread. And I say wonderfully because that table holds memories for me that ignite like flames in my mind every time I see one. I am transported back to my earliest memory of my grandmother, the communion bread maker at Harmony Church of the Brethren, and that table set up. And I'm reminded that we were not allowed to take communion because we weren't old enough. We hadn't accepted yet. There were rules. And my grandmother spoiled her grandchildren. Any grandmothers in here that spoiled her grandchildren? Yeah. I'm just looking around at all these women going, not me. I would never do that. She had a little bundle off to the side for her grandchildren, all six of us, to come up and see her after service. She'd break off a little piece and give it to us, and we'd run around there like we had just gotten a treasure. Jesus says, for who is greater, the one at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He told them, be the servants I have called you to be, so that in your day you will sit with me in glory. Let me remind you of what this moment means. In a dark room, and I have it on good authority what that room looks like. Bud Leatherman has explained it to me countless times, because Bud was in that room. Not 2,000 years ago. But he explained it to me that it is a dark room. The smells would be overpowering from food, from the linens, from the general sense of that room. And Jesus Christ, listening to all of them talk, set about putting forth what we are about to do in remembrance of Him. We are about to join together to put forth, to assimilate that moment when He said, this do in remembrance of me. Because I will not do it again until I come back to get you. Paul encourages us to spend some time in thought and prayer, in silent prayer, examining ourselves and preparing ourselves that we have released and repented of our sins, that we don't come to the communion table anxiously wanting, that we come to it humbly. And so I invite with you now to join with me in prayer and silent time as we share that together. Let us pray. As we prepare to come to the Lord's table, we reflect on our reasons for thanksgiving, faith, penitence, and love. In this time of silence, we remember the Christ who called us to break bread with one another, and we thoughtfully examine the state of our faithfulness and the unity in that body. Holy and loving God, we pray your blessing upon these sacred symbols, the blood of Jesus Christ, the bread of his body. Our hearts are filled with thanksgiving for this love that he poured out. As in faith we drink from this cup and we partake of this bread, we ask your forgiveness. We beg your forgiveness. And your divine spirit be poured afresh into our lives and run throughout. In Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. All of us who are in love and in fellowship with the family of God, who do truly and earnestly repent of our sins, who humbly put our trust in Christ, and who desire His help that we might walk in newness of life, are therefore invited to draw near and receive the communion of our Jesus Christ for our comfort, our strength, and our lifting. Would the ushers please come forward and put forth the bread? Paul writes, "For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Will you please pray with me? Father, we thank You for this time that we spent together in communion. May we be reminded of what it means in this moment. In Jesus' name we thank You. Amen. 3 times a month, Jermaine Washington and Michelle Stevens get together for what they call a gratitude lunch. With good reason. Washington donated a kidney to Stevens, whom he described as, quote, "just a friend." They met at work where they used to have lunch together, and one day Michelle wept as she spoke about waiting on a kidney donor list for 11 months. She was being sustained by dialysis, suffered chronic fatigue and blackouts, and was plagued by joint pain. Because Washington couldn't stand the thought of watching his friend die, he gave her one of his kidneys. When you've got something great to be thankful for, having a gratitude lunch is a great way to celebrate. Brothers and sisters, we have something to be thankful for. Say amen.
Amen.
In this moment, we are reminded of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that left His heavenly realm, came down here and walked the dirt of this earth, and died to give us everlasting life. Say amen.
Amen.
Let us never forget this moment as we go from here and bring peace unto ourselves and extend that peace to those that surround us that need it. Let us live in this moment. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this. We ask that You would lift us up and take us through. In this moment, Father, we stand thinking, remembering, wondering, delighting with joy that we are free. We sang a song at the beginning, "Paid the pardon and made me free." Let us be reminded of that constantly in this moment. In Jesus we pray. Amen.